Fine. Hopefully you've been following the story of the House passage of H.R. 1955. I'm Jeff Rentz. We're going to talk about this hour with Reverend Ted Pike. Ted has been fighting for our freedom of speech for a long time now. If you scroll down in the featured stories section at Rentz.com, look on the left-hand side of center. It's almost dead center. It says featured stories. You can't miss it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It is the 9th story down. It's a featured story box which says H.R. 1955, Thought Crime Bill. We're going to talk about that this hour with Ted Pike and the war on freedom of speech in these formerly United States. I keep almost forgetting. And welcome back, Ted Pike. How are you?
Well, pretty good. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
This is a real case in point about how they are lining up attack after attack after attack on the American Constitution.
Yes, it certainly is. This one really caught me by surprise. I've been preoccupied with the big federal hate bill and ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, but this thing came through so fast in the House of Representatives with only 6 members of the House voting against it.
It's just a shame. 404
yeah.
voted for it, only 6 against, and the remaining smattering didn't bother to vote. I mean, this is... How could 406 members of Congress vote for this piece of trash?
Yeah, well, this legislation is being described as a national threat, a national problem, but I actually called our FBI office here in Portland area, and talked to their expert on domestic terrorism. She'd never even heard of the term.
You're kidding.
And she said, well, maybe homegrown terrorists would be like the Oklahoma City bombers. Maybe they would be eco-terrorists, you know, bombing logging trucks up in wilderness areas and things like that. But she had no idea what the term even meant. And she said, well, why not call your member of the House of Representatives? She said, maybe the House members had information we don't have. So I called back to Representative Blumenauer, Democrat from Portland, and his staffer really didn't have any idea who they were either. He made some conjectures about, you know, like the Muslims and tried to bomb the Glasgow airport last summer, and another reference or two, but he was stymied also. But he said that Representative Blumenauer, like the rest of the members of the House, voted for it because, you know, this sounds dangerous, that there are people out there.
Well, wait a minute. Are you saying, excuse me, Ted, but are you telling me that they admitted that they voted on this unconstitutional crap because it sounded like a good idea on the face of it?
Yeah, they had. I didn't actually hear the discussion on C-SPAN, but the impression was given that there's a real possibility of not only foreign terrorists, but also homegrown terrorists who are deriving their inspiration and their motivation for what is called violent radicalization from some 5,000 to 6,000 internet websites which are streaming on the internet today and provoking these unstable extremist souls, especially in America, toward violent radical action against the United States government or against individuals in the United States.
Can it be, ladies and gentlemen, that 406 members of the House of Representatives, 404 members of the House of Representatives didn't read this and just voted it on the say-so of staff, which probably skimmed it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that the case? 404 people allegedly sent there to watch scrupulously over our best interests as a nation, bought it on the basis of its title, its term, the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007, that they took that and just voted for it, much like they voted for the Patriot Act before it was even in print?
Mm-hmm.
Are we still in that kind of a mindset?
Yeah.
The definition, by the way, of violent radicalization employs some of the most vague language to define this term of promoting any belief system, any that the government considers to be an extremist position?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Who's
the
government?
Nobody seems to know what the word extremist means.
That's the point.
Or who those individuals or who those organizations are. Now, on the surface, this bill seems to be a legislation to prevent Internet radicalization of probably Muslims in America, but I don't believe that really has shown itself to be a national problem. We have a lot of Muslims here, but they are fairly peaceful. They are really quite peaceful. And the Internet websites, which would probably be radicalizing them, would be coming from the Middle East. And but the clear inference here is that they have a problem with alternative talk radio, these networks which are mushrooming now and really capturing the ears and the imagination of many, many very concerned Americans and are really running a competition to the Jewish-dominated media in America. This is very troubling, especially to the Anti-Defamation League, who wants to be basically in the driver's seat of making the definitions of what is a hate crime, what is bias, what is prejudice, and the penalties that should be levied against those haters in America who perform this kind of activity.
The bill now in the Senate, do we know what the status in the Senate of it is right now?
Well, it went almost immediately into the Homeland Security Committee, headed, of course, by Senator Lieberman.
You mean the rubber stamp committee? Oh, the senator,
yeah,
Senator Lieberman, the senator from Tel Aviv, huh?
Yeah, taken very seriously. Oh, yeah, they had a lot of people coming in, I believe, just a day or two after it was passed. They're moving it through very rapidly. And that was televised on C-SPAN. I didn't actually see it, but I heard a caller describe it in detail. And they were quite preoccupied, not with real homegrown terrorists, but with basically Islamic, perhaps, people who come to the United States and stay a while here and then do something. But again, the instances of that are so vague. In order to get a definition of this, I had to go to the Internet, and I found a statement by a prior Attorney General Gonzalez, also by Robert Mueller, the head of the FBI. And Gonzalez described how that several years ago there were seven basically indigent Haitians. Some had become U.S. citizens, some were born in the United States, but there were these Haitians who had this fantasy about blowing up the Sears Tower in Chicago. And the FBI learned about it very early. They were impoverished. They had no explosives. They had no guns. They didn't even have cab fare to drive around town. And the FBI moved in, and for the better part of the year, the FBI supplied them with boots and with cam surveillance cameras and a lot of other things. They even secretly rented a warehouse for these seven so-called homegrown terrorists so that they could keep them talking and perhaps lead them, they would lead them to some other terrorist cells in the United States. These Haitians were happy to keep talking because they thought they had struck it big and gotten in contact with Al-Qaeda. There were two FBI plants there in their midst, and they kept talking and so on. And finally, after about a year, there was a big press conference, and Mueller gave a speech, in fact, in Cleveland, announcing the discovery of a terrorist cell here in the United States. Well, the FBI had known about it, as I say, for the better part of a year. But Mueller twisted that and gave the impression that this was a big discovery. These people were levying war against the United States government and the people of America. But that's the best I can come up with any example of a homegrown terrorist here in the United States.
Well, I agree. If this issue of promoting what's called an extremist agenda is taken subjectively by the other side being the part of the government that doesn't exactly want to honor the Constitution, shall we be charitable with that? Not say bury it, which I could. The policies being espoused by Ron Paul and his supporters could certainly be termed extremist by them, couldn't they?
Well,
getting rid of the IRS is a pretty extreme thing, isn't it? Just for an example.
Right. Yeah. You know, a Mueller is basically a lackey of the ADL. He says he praises the ADL and so on. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute.
Right. All right. And as you look down the list of candidates in the so-called two major party rosters, they're almost invariably in lockstep with the ADL, with AIPAC, with the Israeli First Element. So this thing, if it gets through the Senate and passes, we have a real problem. And again, there are many, many more bills like this waiting in queue now to be introduced. I can guarantee it. Be right back with Ted Pike in just a minute. Talking about House Bill H.R. 1955, now passed and in the Senate. I don't know what the Senate's bill number on it is. Do we have a number over in the Senate yet, Ted?
1959.
What is that?
SB 1959.
1959, okay. All right, let's see. The homegrown terrorism. Let me read this again. I've read it before. If I can find this, here it is. Population, violent radicalization. This is a whopper. I've got it all up on my website. Number 1, 2, and 3. The Congress finds the following. Number 1, the development and the implementation of methods and processes that can be utilized to prevent violent radicalization, homegrown terrorism, and ideologically based violence in the United States is critical to combating domestic terrorism. Again, I'm scratching my head like you, Ted. I'm trying to remember all these instances of domestic terrorism, and I'm kind of coming up with zero. I don't count 9/11. I don't count the Oklahoma City bombing, because we, all of us who study these things, know there's a lot more to that than simple domestic terrorism. And number 3 says, and here's the key. This is for all of you out there who listen over the Internet to not only this program, but people like Ted Pike and other programs that try to bring you the truth, or as I do, I try to bring you reality at least. I don't claim to have the truth, but I certainly can give you a good look at reality. The Internet, says H.R. 1955, has aided. Sounds like it's been pronounced guilty without a trial, doesn't it, Ted?
Yeah.
The Internet has aided in facilitating violent radicalization. Can you describe that for me, Ted? How has the Internet aided, and who's proven it, and what exactly is violent radicalization?
Uh-huh. Well, I have a quote here from Robert Mueller, the head of the FBI, and he says there are, quote, between 5,000 to 6,000 mm-hmm. extremist websites on the Internet
mm-hmm.
encouraging extremists to initiate their own radicalization.
I see, radicalization, but again, undefined. What does that mean?
Right.
What does that mean? Does that mean wearing a pink sock on your left leg every week and running around yelling things in the streets about the government? Is that radicalization?
Well, you know, if there's 5,000 to 6,000 extremist websites, let's just take a common sense look at that. How many Muslim websites do we have advocating the violent destruction of Israel, or how to make bombs to blow up subways in the United States and so on? There are some. Undoubtedly, there are some, but there's not 5,000.
Well, if they're so stupid as to put that kind of crap on the Internet, they deserve to be busted. Okay?
Okay. Now, where do we get this 5,000 to 6,000? This is obviously...
Now, these are all American websites, I assume.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. These are the point of this bill is that these websites, these 5,000 to 6,000 extremist websites,
are
working on the American people to make them extremists in the first place, and then to take them to the next step, which is to plan violent actions. In other words, they're being radicalized.
I see.
Yeah, and what's interesting now, if we've got 5,000 to 6,000 extremist websites worldwide, a good portion of those have got to be right-wing Christian conservative websites, don't they? Now, if you go to ADL, you'll find that Ted Pike and National Prayer Network is one of those extremist websites.
Mm.
And in fact, ADL is now saying that Christian groups like Traditional Values Coalitions are hateful and hurtful and extremist. And in fact, I was just reading today a report from the ADL, and they were saying that those Christian organizations which attack and are hateful against homosexuals, they hide this under family values, you know, American principles and so on, but they're actually hateful extremist websites. So it looks to me like in order to get 5,000 or 6,000, you're going to have, let's say we have 500 Muslim websites, we're going to have 5,500 which are basically American right-wing Christian conservative, spanning the gamut between Republican conservatives, clear over to anti-Zionist websites.
Isn't it interesting how the American homosexual movement has as its champion the ADL?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Of course, the real agenda is just to use the homosexual movement as a cover.
Yes.
This is old news. Now, let me go back into this piece again here. The Internet has aided in facilitating violent radicalization, ideologically based violence, and, here's the kicker, the homegrown terrorism process. Now, what's a process?
Yeah.
Where is the beginning of the process, the middle and the end? What is the process?
Yeah.
In the United States, by providing access to broad-based, broad in scope.
Broadband.
Broadband. Broad and constant streams of terrorist-related propaganda to United States citizens. And what does that mean? What is terrorist-related propaganda? As President Bush said, you're either for us, with us, or you're a terrorist. So people who oppose the administration are terrorist-related. It's so loose and wide open and vague, it's ridiculous. All right, stand by. We'll be right back with Ted Pike as we continue our conversation about H.R. 1955, now known as Senate Bill 1959, and moving through the Senate. Next. Okay, and we're back. There's no doubt that with the wide-open borders, which are, of course, wide-open by design, and the aiding and abetting of the influx of maybe up to 38 million illegal immigrants into the United States, that we have more than a few people here who would like to do severe harm to this country. That's a given. What do you expect? And there should be, and there are, ongoing efforts to penetrate these groups of people, mostly Latino, mostly Mexican, to find out what's going on. That's fine. We have plenty of laws on the books to deal with this. We don't need any more laws. If this one passes, however, it seems quite clear that number 3, which I just read, is aimed directly at alternative news programs on the Internet and alternative news websites and information sites online. There's no question about it. It's right there. It's in black and white. They're not playing games.
Yes, that's right. If this is passed, it won't directly go into a law the way the hate bill will, though. The hate bill, if it's signed by the president, has immediate powers of enforcement and prosecution. But what this does is it sets up a commission which will...
Another bureaucracy, just what we
need.
Yeah,
it'll set up a commission which will sit for not longer than 18 months, and it'll come up with a big report to the Congress. It says here, 5 or 6 pages in, not later than 18 months after the date
mm-hmm.
on which it's set up, it'll have legislative recommendations
mm.
for immediate and long-term countermeasures to violent radicalization, homegrown terrorism, and ideological-based violence, and measures that can be taken to prevent violent radicalization from developing and spreading within the United States.
So, So it's such a huge problem, they're going to take a year and a half to think about it.
Yeah, a year and a half to work on it. And, of course, the ADL will be there as a non-governmental organization.
You bet.
And, you know, the biggest expert on bias and extremism in the world. They'll be there presiding over it, and Lieberman and the rest of these Jewish activists in Congress will be there to steer it in the direction they want it to go. But the problem with the threat of a big federal commission is it has tremendous influence. When they have pondered this and brought in witnesses and had hearings for 18 months, then we've seen how easy it was to pass. Just last week or so, passed the original bill in the House. Just think how easy it'll be to pass a new bill with maybe a very expensive bill with all kinds of hidden ambiguities in it about what to do about the threat of internet radicalization.
Well, I assume they'll be making a list and checking it thrice during the process too. Just a supposed list of possible maybes of sites that might be considered as they do their deliberating and all of their conversational.
That's right.
Yeah, and they'll have a nice list. And
it's amazing. What we have to do is we have to keep this commission from being established. And if I could just give the toll-free number to the Senate, we've got to get calls going in there immediately because Lieberman is saying we only have about a week left now.
What is his status in this shepherding this bill?
He's the head of the Homeland Security Committee.
The committee, and that's where the bill is. Okay.
Yeah, that's where the hearings are being held.
Uh-huh.
Lieberman is head of the subcommittee in the Judiciary, and if I could just give the toll free number,
of course, Ted,
I'd like
please.
People first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning to get those calls off to your two senators from your district. Unfortunately, the new right leaders don't seem to be picking up on this threat. They're lagging behind as usual, I regret to say. So it's going to take a disproportionate calling and effort from listeners to this program and others on Alternative Talk Radio to get some flack in there, get them knowing that we will not stand for this Orwellian committee being set up. So the toll-free number is 877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number to the two senators from your state, 877-851-6437. Sometimes that doesn't work, so there's a backup toll number, which is 202-225-3121. Again, that's 202-225-3121. Now tell the staffer or the receptionist who answers the phone tomorrow morning. I'm talking about before breakfast. Make this top priority to get that call back there to your senators by 9 o'clock Eastern time. Just tell them, please don't vote for SB 1959. Let the FBI keep investigating real terrorist threats, but don't make politically incorrect Americans streaming on the internet into homegrown terrorists. That simple message, I'll just read it again. Let the FBI keep investigating real terrorist threats, but don't make politically incorrect Americans like Jeff Rentz who stream on the internet into homegrown terrorists.
Well, it'd be easy to smear and tar and feather me and a couple dozen others I can think of without any trouble.
Yes.
Having you on the program could ruin this whole thing.
No doubt about it.
listen, we are, if we don't keep, and the sad thing is again, and I don't mean to belabor the point, but we've talked about this years ago, Ted. They're going to keep coming after us over and over and over again. They'll take a step forward and take three steps back. They don't care.
That's right.
They'll keep moving forward. Ultimately, they're going to get a net gain each time.
Yeah.
A little bit
That's
here,
right.
A little bit there.
Oh, yeah. All of these bills are very much thought of as maybe only being passed in the next Congress, but they're working, laying the foundation
here.
The problem is that one of the reasons I hope the new right leaders, Christensen's conservatives, can pick up on this because Christians especially are in the crosshairs now of ADL. ADL is going after Christian conservative columnists like Ann Coulter. They're going after Christians, describing them, as I just mentioned earlier, hiding their homophobia and hatred against homosexuals under family values. And very, very soon, Christian evangelism, especially like Jews for Jesus and so on, who evangelize Jews, will become genocidal haters of Jews for taking Jews away from their ancestry and religion and so on.
And
not only that, but pro-lifers. Pro-lifers for resisting abortion mills will become terrorists of the abortion industry.
Right. All right, when we come back, we're going to ask Ted to bring us up to date on the anti-hate amendment that Senator Ted Kennedy tacked onto the military appropriations bill and find out what the status on that is after this. Okay, back with Ted Mike talking about important issues like that simple little thing called freedom of speech. All right, let's find out what's the latest. Where is the military appropriations bill with its hate law hanging on to it like an ugly, vile parasite?
Well, just today, the hate bill and the arms bill passed through conference between the House and the Senate.
So they get out of conference between the two houses.
Fairly quickly. Now, the president is extremely angry at the Democrat-controlled Congress for not only attaching the hate bill to the arms reauthorization bill, but also adding a lot of pork, a lot of other riders that have no relationship to military arms appropriations. And he is he's threatening to send the whole thing back, demanding that they take off not only the hate bill, but a lot of other superfluous, unrelated legislation. And the House and Senate leaders are very, very cocky, very adamant, because really, if you want to know the truth, it wouldn't bother them at all if there was no arms appropriation bill at all funding the war in Iraq. I mean, that's one strategy to end the war in Iraq, is just to dry up all the money for the war in Iraq. Today there was indication that the president may ask for $70 billion, and they may give that to him in order to keep our armed forces going worldwide with none of that money going to Iraq. So the Congress is willing to provide stipends or funds necessary in intervals, monthly intervals or whatever, to keep our military alive around the world. But they're all obviously very much constricting the funds for active continuation of the war in Iraq in the years ahead, like he would like to, like the president would like to do.
Okay.
So there is the outside possibility.
Yeah.
This is pretty far fetched, but if they were able to create so much trouble for this particular arms appropriations bill that they could never find an agreement between them and the president, with that hate bill on there, it could be that the hate bill would die unless they can get things resolved within the next year.
Is he showing any signs of waffling on his promise?
Well, I don't think so. He has he's promised to veto ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. If that is also passed by the Senate, it was passed by the House, excuse me, and then that vote should be taking place fairly soon. But I don't know. A lot of things could happen. This military bill is a full 3 months overdue now. He wanted it before the summer vacation.
That's right.
But it's very important that people keep calling the president and let him know that we expect him to state his double promises to veto the hate bill. Could I just give the president's number?
Gee, you're going to get in trouble?
Well, anyway, the toll-free number to the President of the United States is 877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number, 877-851-6437. 6437, and there is another one. I believe it's a comment line.
Uh-huh.
It's 202-225-3121. Again, 202-225-3121. We shouldn't have to remind him, but on the other hand, there's a lot of pressure for him to maybe, hey, throw in the sop and veto ANDA, but let the hate bill go through. We cannot have that happen.
They have live operators?
Yeah, I believe so.
They must have a lot of them somewhere.
Yeah. But he needs to be reminded.
Maybe in, I bet they've outsourced it. I bet they're in Bangladesh.
Or Tel Aviv.
Yeah,
we have to keep after them. And politics is about who's got the most pressure, the most clout, the most most anger. And we need to get those calls. But make a call after you've called your senators tomorrow morning against this homegrown terrorism bill. Give a quick call to the president and let him know that we're still watching him and will be very angry, very disappointed, especially with the Republican Party if he waffles on his promise. We might even go over and create a third party. And actually, you know, the presence of rivals now, possible third party and real conservatives' options are deeply troubling the hierarchy of the Republicans. And that's all the more reason we have to let them know we expect them to be true to their word, or we may jump ship.
Well, we need to, I think, we've got a chance to do something really different here, Ted, and that's work with Ron Paul. He may not be perfect for everyone, but he's the most honest, honorable man that I've ever seen in politics at that level in my lifetime.
Uh-huh.
And I hope Americans can get behind that and support that, because he is beholden to no one. If you've studied his campaign carefully and his issues, I hope everyone gives him a good look. That's what I'll recommend. I don't think we need a third party. I think we have a chance at last, and this may be our very last chance. A third party is never going to be allowed to do anything in this country. It's not going to happen. That's my opinion.
Well, I think what we're seeing is that there is a great deal of disillusionment with Bush among the
conservatives. Oh, to put it mildly.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing a possibility of not only a fragmentation, perhaps, of the dominance of the Republican people, but also for different voices of leadership coming out. We saw a tremendous collapse of Christian conservative leaders this fall as they let the hate bill pass. And in fact, I have a 30-minute video showing at Google now called Betrayed, How the New Right Leaders Let the Hate Bill Pass. They go and watch that, and you'll see how really inept and tardy they were, and in fact almost criminally negligent, both among the members of the Republican contingent of the Senate and also the New Right Christian leaders. We need some different guidance systems emerging in this nation if we're ever going to save it, because I think these big established leaders now are kind of caretakers of our declining republic, but they're not going to save our nation. They really don't have the preemptive power, originality, and courage to really do that job.
The only people that are going to save our nation are the people, and they have to do it. Not going to be any of those cretins in Washington, D.C., with few exceptions. They are useless.
Well, I think a lot of these Christian leaders have learned to play power politics, and rather than standing on truth and the Bible and the authority and fear of God, they're making their deals. I think we saw that and defeat, and mm-hmm. and we need some new voices, new leadership, which really have a level of saltiness and courage that we haven't seen for a long time.
I completely agree with you. What has been the reaction of the Christian right since you brought your DVD out and really criticized them for falling down?
I did have a conversation with one New Right leader, very prominent leader, who called me. Now, I won't mention his name, but he was very shamefaced. He didn't feel that he didn't know of a conspiracy, but he agreed with me that they could have done a lot more, and also he agreed that the total collapse of any kind of real opposition by the Republicans in the Senate was very, very suspicious. And I guess he was pretty much implying that he thought that the Republicans decided to just let it pass and give the glory to Bush for vetoing it.
Really?
Yeah.
So he smelled a rat too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was very humiliated, and he called me and we talked for quite a while. And I did tell him very frankly how his organization had failed to stand on the wall, and he took it on the chin. I think there's some hope, but it's a difficult thing to get them to admit to their people that they did wrong, they failed, because they have to keep up this illusion that they're standing on the wall right to the bitter end, fighting a good fight, and that simply did not happen this time around.
Hmm. Any more messages or intimidations from your friends at the ADL and things lately?
No, they've got 11 pages on me up there that I'm a vicious anti-Semite. But on the other hand, just about everybody of any spunk now is becoming labeled by Foxman, who seems kind of out of control. He's got Dennis Prager, Jewish talk show host and writer. He's anti-Semitic. He's got Ann Coulter, anti-Semitic. He's got...
Hey, wait a minute. He called Dennis Prager anti-Semitic?
Yeah, pretty much. Prager came out and really went to bat for Ann Coulter.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Prager's very liberal and so on, and Zionist, but but he really stood up for her. She came out with a salty article today. I can't quite understand all the convolutions of her reasonings, but... Anyway, she's going after ADL too. I think this is very healthy to get a fight now between Christian conservatives and ADL, because most Christian conservatives have no idea what ADL is, and
they don't. You're right.
Yeah, they know what the ACLU is, but the religious leaders have been protecting the ADL for so long. So here's a spat between ADL, who's now calling Ann. Hateful. They're calling her hateful and anti-Semitic, just for that one statement that she said that Jews would find fulfillment in Jesus Christ.
Amazing. Truly amazing. I call it chutzpah. beyond that. Okay, thanks, Ted, for the update. Keep me posted. We'll look for more of your articles. Thank you for everything you've done to try to protect our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. It means a lot to a great many Americans. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Reverend Ted Pike. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're along this evening. Hope you've enjoyed it, and we look forward to seeing you here tomorrow night. See you then.